Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen, when the snow lay round about deep and crisp and even, brightly shone the moon that night, though the frost was cruel, when a poor man came in sight, carrying winter fuel.
It's Father Jim with you again today. Sometimes turkey tastes better out of season than always on Christmas Day. So I'm going to share a Christmas carol with you, even though it's summer. Really, Good King Wenceslas, I don't think, is a Christmas carol. It's more of a Pentecost carol. Let me explain. On the day after Christmas, many people have hangovers. They take an Alka-Seltzer or aspirin or something to get rid of the headache. They probably shut their curtains in a dark room. Or they may take their children out to the park and probably break their children's new Christmas toys. A number of little boats often sink in the round pond in Kensington on Boxing Day. But Good King Wenceslas looked out on the Feast of Stephen, which is the 26th of December. And when he looked out from his castle, wherever he was, he saw what was really there. He could have just looked out and said, "Oh, look at the robins. Look at the beautiful icicles and the snow and the holly and the berries. Footprints of the fox. Nice full moon, brightly shone the moon that night." He might have then drawn the curtains and gone back inside and had a cocoa. But he saw a poor man coming inside. In other words, he saw reality, not just the nice things, but the painful things. And the poor man was gathering winter fuel. I suppose it was fir cones or little twigs or something, because he was cold. So Good King Wenceslas looked out on the Feast of Stephen, when the snow lay round about, deep and crisp and even. Brightly shone the moon that night, though the frost was cruel, when a poor man came in sight, gathering winter fuel.
Good King Wenceslas looked out on the Feast of Stephen, when the snow lay round about, deep and crisp and even. Brightly shone the moon that night, though the frost was cruel, when a poor man came in sight, gathering winter fuel.
Before Pentecost, the apostles were in that room, sealed up, dying of their own stale air. And the Holy Spirit blew them out onto the streets. It was an explosion. And they felt better when they got on the streets to be in God's world and notice the wonders that God was doing there. But sometimes it's too much to look at reality on our own. It's too painful. So he calls his friend. "Hither, page, and stand by me."
"Hither, page, and stand by me, if thou wouldst it tarry. Yonder peasant, who is he? Where and what his wherry?"
Let's look at this together. "If thou knowst it telling. Yonder peasant, who is he?" What a question. I mean, you could have said, "What's that for a start?" Something the tide brought in. He asked the question, "Who is he? Where and what his dwelling?" Well, the page doesn't know. He can give the address. "Oh, it's 43 Coronation Street. Beware of the dog ring three times. Sir, he lives a good league hence, underneath the mountain, right against the forest fence, by St. Agnes Fountain." "I don't know who he is. I can only give you his address." So the king said, we must find out who he is, not what, who he is. "But I can see he's hungry and he's cold and he's thirsty. Bring me flesh and bring me wine, bring me pine logs hither." Well, on Boxing Day, I presume there was only the parson's nose and a cold leg of turkey and half a bottle of wine and some stale mince pies. You know, leftovers. At least we'll take the leftovers for him. Thou and I shall see him dine ere we bear him thither.
Bring me flesh and bring me wine, bring me pine logs hither. Thou and I will see him dine when we bear him thither.
Now the golden rule is, never go out into the snow on your own. You could fall over and die in your tracks, a frostbite never be known about. Always go together. I'm not talking about domestic arrangements, but some people in life are so alone. London could be a terrible place. You could be dead for 3 weeks in your flat, and no one knows or cares. I remember a few years ago, somebody in West England, an old lady, had been dead for 3 weeks, and her son, if you please, complained to social services that they hadn't looked after her. If I was the son, I would be so ashamed that my mother had been dead for 3 weeks and I didn't even know about it. Well, you always blame somebody else, of course. Our Lord sent the apostles out in twos. Whether we live alone or with others, let's hope that we travel through life never totally alone, but at least in twos, so that we really care for somebody and for each other. Page and monarch, forth they went together, through the rude winds, wild lament, and the bitter weather.
Page and monarch, forth they went together, through the rude winds, wild lament, and the bitter weather.
And sure enough, Page gets cold feet. Sir, the night is darker now, and the wind is stronger. Fails my heart, I know not how. I can't go on!
Sire, the night is darker now, and the wind blows stronger. Fails my heart, I know not how. I can go no longer.
I'm sure in life we've all experienced moments where we've suddenly thought, I can't go on. I'm either too tired, too depressed, too hurt, whatever. Our Lord felt it on the way to Calvary. He felt he couldn't go on. But Simon of Cyrene said, well, perhaps we can, you and me, my dear. In his dying breath, when the Father seemed to have abandoned him, our Lord seemed to say, I can't die alone. And the good thief turned to him and said, well, perhaps we can, you and me, my dear. And I'll also tell you, if you and I will die together, you and I are going to live today together in paradise. The first canonized saint, you might say. A robber, a criminal, a thief, perhaps a killer, canonized on the spot at Calvary. Now, if the king, good King Wenceslas, was in a hurry, he'd say, I'm terribly sorry, I simply have an agenda. I simply have to get mince pies down that poor man's throat. And I've got to report to the parish this evening that I've done my jobs. So you stay there, I'll put a pole up so that if you get covered in snow, I'll dig you up on the way back. Meanwhile, I'll go and give the mince pies to the poor man. Fatal. If Jack Frost got between the king and his page, divide and conquer, the frost would get the king, the page would die, and the poor man wouldn't get his pies. Never, ever must we allow the thing or the agenda to separate persons. I am so happy that Paul VI, after the Vatican Council, somehow managed to keep the church together, despite factions and feuds and quarrelings and jealousies. So the king said, right, let's walk like a pantomime horse. You hold my hips, and we'll go along like a pantomime horse. We might be slow, but we're certainly going to be sure. Nothing's going to separate us. The poor man's hope depends on whether you and I make it together.
Mark my footsteps, good my pace, tread thou in them boldly. Thou shalt find the winter's rage, freeze thy bloodless cold.
Sure enough, as they went along like a pantomime horse, the page walking in the king's footsteps, his tootsies got warmer.
In his master's steps, passage wrought where the snow lay tinted. It was in the very sod which the saint had printed.
And I presume, because nothing would separate them, the poor man got his mince pies, and that great act of charity was a great sign of what it is to be a Christian. We're going to do this together. Nothing must separate us. Therefore, men, be sure, wealth or rank possessing, you who do now help the poor, shall yourself find blessing. A Christmas carol for every day of the year. Amen.
Therefore, Christian men, be sure, wealth or rank possessing, ye who now will bless.